across Western New York at 100.9, 103.7, 104.3, 104.9, and 105.5. This is WCJW, Warsaw, Batavia, Arcade, Avon, and Geneseo. Today's favorites and the legends. Western New York's CJ Country.
Welcome to the weekend and the CJ Agribusiness Report. Our Saturday crew is standing by. Tom and Tim, Jeff and Bill, John Block and more. Grab your coffee and let's get started. Here's Andrew McCray and Farming the Countryside.
This edition of Farming the Countryside is brought to you by ProFarmer. Information to help farmers make profitable decisions. Go to ProFarmer.com. Welcome to Farming the Countryside. I'm Andrew McCray. The impact of tariffs provides uncertainty, but are the fundamentals in the cattle market still stacked up to keep it moving higher? Will supplies remain low and demand steady for beef? We discuss where we stand and the drivers for where we'll go in the cattle markets and more. It's our topic for this week's Farming the Countryside, brought to you by ProFarmer. Stay ahead of market swings with ProFarmer. ProFarmer's condensed style saves you time while giving you the profit-boosting information you need when making those important marketing decisions. And you'll cash in on profit opportunities with ProFarmer's mobile sell alerts and easy-to-use mobile app. In a time of uncertainty and with market-moving news bombarding us, now's a good time to get sound information to make good decisions in a volatile market. Find out why thousands of farmers trust ProFarmer for market insights and news. To learn more, go to ProFarmer.com. Tariffs and trade and their impacts are on a lot of people's minds, and we will discuss those impacts, although frankly, the pace at which things are changing can make some information irrelevant fairly quickly. This week my guest is Scott Verlich with Koima Verlich Trading. I wanted to focus on the cattle market, a commodity that has turned profits for many cattle producers compared to the tighter margins on the crop side recently. Of course, things can change suddenly, and that's part of what I wanted to discuss with Scott. Are we hitting market highs and poised to come off those price levels and experience tighter or even negative margins sometime soon? We also hit on the crop side, but we began with a focus on cattle and where we may be headed. Scott Verlich joins me from Koima Verlich. We are going to talk about markets and concentrate mostly on the cattle, at least. When Scott and I first set up this interview, that's where I wanted to go. Scott, I'm going to start in an odd place, maybe. We have plenty we could talk about tariffs, and we'll get to tariffs in a moment. But when I set up this interview originally, my thought, and being a cattle producer myself, is where are the fundamentals? Because it felt like we were getting up to maybe a top, or at least we were going to have a setback before we tried to go again. So we'll get to tariffs in a moment, but take me back to a time a week or so before we had all the tariff talk. Where's the market fundamentally? Should I feel good that if we get through these tariffs that I'm still set up to maintain prices or go higher in this cattle market?
Yeah, and Andrew, thanks for having me. And yeah, we're talking about a week and a half ago, a couple week old data, and it feels like we're talking about the good old days, right? I mean, before prices really start to get to moving. But I guess we stand on fundamentals, and we really try to look at the cow herd. The reason we got to these levels is just because this severely decreased cow herd. Okay, and several reasons why we got to those levels, but for us, the long-term picture had not changed yet, not completely. We have to watch for heifer retention. So, I mean, that's where all your eyes are at, and we did not see it come up on the January 1st report. Possibly after some of that, we're starting to see some of this retention, but ultimately, the fundamentals are still tight enough to where I think we still have some ground to stand on here yet. The heifers are still on feed. They're still being slaughtered. And if we're going to rebuild this cow herd in any, you know, extreme fashion, we're going to need to see a bigger sway than that. So, and a lot of reasons why that cow herd is smaller. I mean, it's been the years of lack of profitability getting down to the cow calf, man. And, the market spoke up. You know, we see less and less ranchers and the less, you know, hard ability to try to expand that cow herd. So just that suppression of profitability finally popped. the rubber met the road, and we said, okay, we are now too tight, and we need some more cattle.
You know, you're in the cattle market, and you're in tune with those numbers. Are you surprised that the supply side hasn't come back sooner than this? And what is the cause of that? Is it we've had drought at times, but those drought areas seem to have come back some? Is it profitability in certain places? Why haven't we built back faster than we perhaps thought we would?
I think that's a great question. And for me, I think the number one thing, yes, you can throw drought in there, yes, but the number one thing for me is just that lack of profitability. It just hasn't made it all the way down there. The costs, the inputs for these guys raising cattle has definitely increased alongside everything else that we're dealing with day to day. And it's hard to find labor, just the real estate, all of your costs that you have associated with it. So that's my main reason why I think cattle feeders haven't seen that long-term optimism out there. We're getting so used to, well, when are they going to jerk the rug on us again? Well, when are we going to have that black swan? Or when's the market going to crash again? We always seem to have those. That's why we, you know, have to look for hedge protection here or there, because we're a market that's used to that. We're holding a lot of risk, have a lot of dollars out there, and we've been through so many of these cycles where the market drops and it drops fast, and we're in trouble. We need that long-term stability and say, hey, this market's going to be good tomorrow too. We need to know that. If we're going to stick our neck out there, you know, you're going to try to buy a heifer calf for $2,000 to $2,400, and you're going to breed her, okay, and you've got high interest, you know, 7% is supposedly coming down, getting into the sixes, but you have a lot of costs associated with that. Got to take care of her for 2 years before you're going to wean a calf off her and ready for market. So you're looking at $4,500 to $5,000 investment before you get one paycheck back. And this is going to take a couple of years. So it's a long-term commitment, a long-term battle, and it's going to be a while before you get some money back. So you're really sticking your neck out there if you're going to invest a lot of money into trying to keep those heifers back and breed them. It's pretty easy to send them to town and take that great big paycheck you got right now.
As these prices have run up, and as you talk to producers on the phone, have they been more willing to try to put protection under these cattle at what are relatively high prices compared to the past, or do we tend to do the same things that we've always done in the past?
A little bit of both, you know, that we can have, you know, there's a lot of guys, you know, that are hedgers. They're going to be hedgers every year, and that's your plan. And I think that's what you want to be. Are you a hedger or are you not? You know, so you're sticking to your plan, what you always do. I think that's good to have that plan and to talk about it, to have your goals. But we're handling so many more dollars right now that you can see, okay, I'm going to start buying some cattle that break even over $2 and just not do anything. My level of emotions just went up quite a bit. My blood pressure is up. So we've been, you know, had to look at some ways to protect ourselves a little bit with the volatility that we have in the markets, with the amount of money that we have hanging out there. We're having to look at some, you know, cattle producers have been forced to look at marketing just because our margins are slim and we're handling a lot of money. So just with those two factors right there, we've had to maybe change a little bit, I guess, from year to year what we would normally do with certain producers. It's been a year where you need to catch as much of the up as you can, because we might go through years of a stretch where we don't make a lot of money as cattle producers, and you need that one really good year to keep us going, because if you miss out on that one, it can be a struggle to try to play catch up. So trying to make as much as you can and not have any risk, yeah, good luck. It's been kind of that kind of market.
Right. On the demand side, are you surprised that we have kept up the demand, especially domestic demand? We think about prices going higher and inflation, but it seems like there's still a consumer on the other side.
Yeah, for me, just because I'm a cowboy, I guess, I'm not surprised at all. Really proud of what we raise for beef, and the consumer's been telling us they want high quality beef. It's been the meat that consumers really want. And, you know, we've went through a lot of hiccups in the last several years. I mean, even dating back to COVID in 2020, how solid beef demand was. And I think that you know, long run, oddly enough, really showed these consumers that, hey, you can make a good quality meal at home and do it at a less price. You know, this is something that you can do. We have such a good product of beef in the United States. And I just think we haven't seen, you know, any major backups since then. So we've been able to just lean on it and just figure that demand is rock solid. It's something we can count on. And that's what we're expecting. You know, the price of everything has gone up. And beef has as well. But in years past, I think we're just kind of maybe changing the hands that the dollars are going down to. The retailer had a very large chunk of margin. The packer had margin. They've had some record margin in the last few years. And a producer that was not getting enough. So that's why we're seeing the big liquidation. Now we're seeing some retail margins shrink, some packer margins shrink, and the producer is actually getting in on some of this chunk. So maybe our retail prices haven't went up as fast as some of the others. We might, you know, hear more about it just because we know the futures prices are at all-time highs. So we hear about how can the consumer still pay for this? Well, a lot of it is just the allotment of where the money has been going. In some of those record high boxes that we've had in the last few years, we could have seen $2 live cattle and every sector still been making money. And this is several years ago, so it's not out of the ordinary that this is where we came to. But I think retail prices are going to still challenge to go higher. We're just getting into the grilling season and peak demand coming in front of us. So I don't see any major relief in prices coming very soon.
Of course, the piece that we haven't talked about is tariffs and their impact, and things are changing all the time and may change in between the time people hear us and we talk right now. Let's talk about the initial part of this. Everything went down, Dow Jones down sharply. Was it a situation in which when you have a down market, everything's just going to come down around it regardless of the fundamentals as we talk about the beef market right now?
Yeah, Andrew, it's fun to talk about our fundamentals, and we love that. But the unfortunate part is the tariffs and the stock market have taken over a lot of our moves here lately in the futures and has added a lot of panic and uncertainty over all of the markets. So it's not so much the tariffs in particular. We got to kind of, you know, tackle this a couple different ways. So tariffs for beef, what does that mean? I mean, it's for cattle itself, it's not really that bad of a thing because we import 2-to-1 beef right now for the raw product. We're importing feeders, we're importing fats, so we're importing all three sectors for the beef sector. So if we have tariffs and we slow all of those down, it's actually putting our United States producers in the driver's seat because we can, you know, turn domestically towards more of what we have here. So when you look at that part of it, you're thinking, okay, tariffs really aren't that bearish for cattle at all. They're probably friendly. You know, when we shut a Mexican border, we see what the feeders do. They go higher. When we shut those off, we get some fats that can't come out of Canada. I mean, that's also friendly there. And all of the beef that we get out of Australia, because we're really desperate on grinding meat. That's why slaughter cow prices are so high. Another one of the reasons you can throw that nugget into why we've slimmed this cow herd down so much, because you could get out a lot of money out of an old cow that you really didn't, you know, in the past didn't have any value. But the unfortunate part, the other side, is that the overall economy is not handling it well. And we're seeing the, several days in a row of 1,000 plus down Dow Jones and the S&Ps, and that's all we hear about. That's all over the news. So it's a consumer that's scared, and you've got long funds, pretty much long in every market. We saw such mass liquidation in all of these commodities and all of these stocks. And, you know, cattle couldn't be left alone and do it by themselves. The funds carried a very large position, and we saw that start to unwind very fast. So we need good health of a consumer, and we need the funds in the market if we're going to keep doing it. So the fundamental, you know, looking at the actual cows or looking at, you know, prices of beef, what it can be, it kind of all gets clouded, and we're just waiting for some of this outside noise to turn around so we can go back to our own cattle fundamentals, in my opinion.
Well, we trade lower on uncertainty, and we don't know when we will have more certainty, but the fundamentals should still be there, though, that even if we were still in a downtrending market and the Dow staying down for a while and so forth, would we expect that the cattle then would outperform some of the other commodities just because of the underlying fundamentals?
For me, I would think so. They have a lot more to stand on moving forward. as we didn't see the cow herd expectations to grow fast enough. So it's one of the markets that could rebound first, it is the way that I look at it. We've got a market. We got to remember this last little leg that we had for the cattle was very sharp. We took a very sharp rally up, and now we're softening pretty quickly here. It's a market that still can break a little bit before it even touches the uptrend line. Some of these long-term technicals we're looking at, taking a little breath isn't so bad. I mean, we've seen some breaks. Last fall breaks $15, and we're able to kind of hold and come back. It's always been cash is king. Because we did not see the cash feeder prices break that much during some of these futures breaks that we've had. And live cattle prices have continued to impress us because the packers are needing cattle and they're short bought. There's just not a lot of them out there is what it appears to be. So being able to fall back on that, I think that's going to help us out. We just can't wait to get some calmer markets on the outside so we don't have to worry about it so much.
Well, and if I'm a cattle producer, hopefully I've already had a plan in place. But at this point, do I have to let things shake out before I try to put a plan in place now if it's going to be hedging or LRP or whatever I'm going to try to do?
Yeah, I would be a little antsy. I wouldn't want to just wait. Wait and hope. You know, whenever I have a marketing plan that's based on hope, if somebody says that, well, I hope it does that, I get a little bit nervous. And I say, okay, I don't like to just stand on that word and say, hey, I hope we're going to be okay. Well, find a better spot. So you might not be able to find an LRP or a put that's going to make you money at this level, but you need some kind of plan to make sure, okay, how much risk can I take? None of us actually know when this market's going to turn around, or if it's going to turn around. We don't know if the highs are in or how much higher it can go. So we're all, you know, shooting from the hip with what we have for going on in our brain with our own numbers, our own thoughts. None of us actually know. So you're going to have to kind of decide what you can, you know, sustain, I guess, as far of a break. You know, I have to put that. I throw a low number out there and I say, what would happen to your operation if live cattle went to this price, this low price? And I can usually kind of tell by the other end of how their voice is okay, you need some help. We need to maybe find some stop loss kind of trades, some way to kind of put a floor on. Or whether it's, hey, I've got some cattle that really, really work. What can I do to try to lock some of this in and make sure that I have a profit next year? So I don't want to just wait and hang out. I'm more interested in being on the offense rather than the defense. I have a lot more fun playing offense than I do defense.
How are we holding up with the phone calls and things? We go through ups and downs. I think we're used to that in agriculture, but has this been a tougher one with tougher conversations, or maybe we just aren't deep enough in yet to really have those type of conversations to know where we're headed?
Yeah, no, their conversations are hot and heavy and coming in fast. So the phones are ringing and as they should be. Don't feel bad if you're calling your who you do business with several times in a day, because that's how fast the markets are moving. And you need to have somebody that you can trust. You know, somebody that you have dealt with for a long time that knows how to ask you the right questions, you know, where you can basically partner up and do it as a team, because it really helps going through situations like this. If I just had a new customer that I just started talking to for a week and I say, what do I do? I don't have much background. I haven't seen, you know, enough of their operation, you know, to know. So it's fun being able to walk together with somebody through these tough times. But for sure, the nerves are there, you know, in these wild swings. You know, you'll see a market that really goes down fast and everybody kind of sways one way and it sways back the other way, starts to turn around and the buying. Trying to keep those emotions in check, I think, is pretty emotional, because we saw some of these swings where the market's crashing down $7 or $8 feeders and nobody's buying them. And then all of a sudden we turn around and we're only about a dollar lower on the day and you have people calling and trying to buy them now. So that's a kind of an after the fact kind of move. So trying to keep between the line. That's been a buy low, sell high kind of market. And if you get trapped on the wrong side, it's been a little tough. So keep it in check with somebody that you can trust is some of the best advice that I can really give you.
I did want to spend most of the time on the cattle, but I do want to take a few moments before we wind up over on the grain side. We had, at least, you know, as a corn and soybean guy myself, I think we'd felt a little bit better as we entered this calendar year. We had ticked up a little bit, and now we've seen that go back. conversations you're having on those sides, I think those margins have gotten even tighter that were already tight. Is that what you're seeing?
Yeah, I think for sure. Tight margins is what we're going to have to deal with. I think the farmers have had a tougher, financial portfolio here lately, and it just kind of looks like, okay, that's probably what we're gearing up for. We've been through some of these tariff wars, before. We were in it last time we had Trump in office, so it's not like we've not seen it at all. So, I mean, that it does give me that little bit of hope there that we kind of know what to expect here. But for me, the biggest thing that's jumping out to me is just, the corn acres versus the soybean acres. The main story for me is just that the crop insurance really told us to plant corn. You could guarantee more dollars per acre if you planted corn. And it was just, and it was so obvious, and I heard it from every single customer that I have that calls in. So when I have it that big of a sway, I really think, okay, we're going to fill this corn pipeline pretty fast. So I think that carries a lot of risk. We don't have any weather yet. It's early yet. So we're looking at mid-April right now, and a lot can change. We won't add in any dry conditions till you get to middle of June, but I want to be a little bit forward thinking. If I'm going to make that large shift to corn from soybeans, what am I doing about it? Am I just hoping it goes higher and try to find some spots to sell? Sure, but I would want to try to say, okay, what is my risk here? I got a lot of bushels hanging out there, but we'll be tracking that acre number. I think on corn, I mean, we saw the last USDA report, was higher than expectations, but corn didn't really break. It went higher. So I think the market already knows corn. So it wasn't really a surprise. But moving forward, it's too early to talk about weather, and we'll see if beans can put any on, because I kind of think they're the quiet horse here lately.
We mentioned on the tariff side that it could potentially end up helping the cattle, but on the crops, would that be then a different story? I know it could be a different story long-term versus short-term, but how do you see the impact?
Yeah, I think your markets that really need some export help, you're looking at soybeans, you're looking at hogs, those two markets could really suffer, if we can see some continued tariffs. Now, soybeans as well, I mean, you've got South America has raised such a large crop, and they've got their foot on the gas pedal there. So some of that's been diluted by some of that large production down there. But those two markets in particular, add a lot of risk. Corn's been able to handle the tariff news, pretty well, mainly because we're seeming to be getting along with Mexico just a little bit better. Maybe Canada, maybe not, but maybe making a little bit more headway there, and in Mexico takes a lot of corn, so that helps us out there. So that's how I would look at it. We've got to handle that country by country, and whether it's China, whether it's Mexico, what the mood is, we're going to be trading headlines here for a while. So we might really know some fundamentals, have some great ideas, but might be out the window just in a few ticks on a trade.
You mentioned hogs there. Thoughts on the hog market right now?
I think they've had the supply. They've had some decent cash. The tighter supply has been on our side, but it felt like that was all going smooth, going okay. We were in some tighter numbers, and probably going to be until we, get through this spring time frame, but unable to be left alone just because of the tariffs. That's what's been weighing it down. It's the market. It's a market that thrives on exports and needs them. We would have a lot of pork to chew through domestically, if we see any more major hiccups. So moving forward, they're going to need some definite long-term confidence from the export window if they're going to get into any long sustained rally. So I think steady chop to lower is just what the hogs are looking at right now.
Scott, before we wind up, we've hit on what I think are the big commodities that we always talk about, but is there any other piece of news or any other commodity that you're looking at to say, keep an eye on this, or this is some news that you should think about in a time in which we've got so much news flooding at us?
Yeah, news is flooding, and all of the commodities are moving very sharp, so it'd be hard to pick one out, but you have to kind of try to find those commodities like cattle, like say, okay, these actually have some really good fundamentals I can stand on. Because I think there is a lot of people that are looking to, hey, I would like a buying opportunity. What can I buy into low? So trying to digest some of those is going to be hard. Wish I had one I could stand up and say, go after that one, but I guess just call me a cattle guy and I'll just stand right on that.
Good, good. Yep, Scott, I appreciate it, and we'll see what happens in an ever-changing market for sure.
Yep, thanks, Patton.
Thanks for joining me on this week's show. Remember, you can follow Farming the Countryside and our daily show, American Countryside, on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Just type in Farming the Countryside or American Countryside to find those social media pages. And if you miss one of these Farming the Countryside shows, it's easy to go back and listen to past programs. Just go to farmingthecountryside.com or your favorite podcast platform. This past week was wetter and cooler for many of us. We still don't have any crop in the ground, but hope to sometime soon. I hope wherever you are, you're having a good spring season. That's it for this week's show. I'm Andrew McCray. I'll catch you next time on Farming the Countryside. This edition of Farming the Countryside is brought to you by ProFarmer. Information to help farmers make profitable decisions. Go to ProFarmer.com.
Standing by is Tom and Tim with the Ag RadioNet Farm News. When we return, it's Agriculture Today with Tony St. James in just a moment.
This program is brought to you by Kubota. Turn to Monroe Tractor for all your Kubota equipment needs, located in Springville and North Java. Learn more online at MonroeTractor.com.
It's Kubota Orange Days. From America's number one selling compact tractor to zero-turn mowers and versatile RTVs, get your perfect match delivered to your door. Now through June 30th, get zero down, 0% APR for 84 months or up to $3,500 off BX23S tractors. See the details at KubotaOrangeDays.com. Turn to Monroe Tractor and Implement for all your Kubota equipment needs, located in Springville and North Java, or find them online at MonroeTractor.com. Now through December 31st. See us or go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
Good day in the House. I told you not to doubt us. The media always does. The Democrats always do. But we get the job done, and we're really grateful to have had the big victory on the floor just now. It was a big one, a very important one.
Mike Johnson from Louisiana is Speaker of the House of Representatives, talking about bills passed by Congress this week.
On a busy week in Washington, we got a lot of important things done for the American people this week. We passed the SAVE Act today, as you know, and that ensures that you got to have identification. You have to prove your identity because only U.S. citizens should vote and decide U.S. elections. It's already in federal law, but there's no mechanism currently to ensure that that law is always followed, and this measure, the SAVE Act, will help make sure that is true. We passed the No Rogue Rulings Act, which, as you know, will limit the ability of activist, liberal, in this case federal judges, to issue injunctions that will stop a president's policies nationwide. That has been wildly abused against President Trump, and the Congress had an obligation and responsibility, I think, to step in and make sure that we bring that under control. We also repealed some very damaging Biden-era regulations again this week, and we'll continue that work. But the big news today, of course, is that we passed the budget resolution. We adopted the Senate's amendments to the resolution, holding in place all of the commitments and the instructions, the guidelines that the House originally enacted. And that was a big step, because that will allow us now to move forward to have our committees actually drafting the one big beautiful bill. There's a lot of work ahead of us, and we're really excited about that.
So we hear this term, big beautiful bill, but what is it and what does it do?
The budget reconciliation bill, the reason we call it the one big beautiful bill, everybody in this crowd of journalists knows that all the components that will be in that. We're talking about ensuring that the border is secure, having the resources that are necessary to do that. We're talking about getting the American economy going again by reducing regulations. We're talking about restoring peace through strength and making sure we have the measures in place to properly fund those priorities. We have a lot of things, American energy dominance, all the components that will make things better for Americans, drive down the cost of living, and get our economy really going again. And, of course, not the least of which, the big components of the One Big Beautiful Bill is to ensure that we don't have the largest tax increase in U.S. history all at once, which is what would happen at the end of this year if we didn't accomplish this mission, because the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, the tax cuts from the first Trump administration, as we know, would expire. So a big day for us. We will now get the committees operating on all cylinders. They'll be working over the two-week district work period that encompasses Passover and Easter. They'll take a couple of days off for those holy celebrations and then keep their sleeves rolled up and get right back to work. The committees in the Senate and the House will be working in a collaborative fashion. We've explained this, that this really is a one-team approach by Republicans in both chambers. I'm so grateful to Leader Thune and his steady hand of leadership. We had a joint press conference this morning making our commitments known of what we're going to try to do. And that is ensure real savings for the American people, because we have to do that. We have a responsibility to get our country back on a sound fiscal trajectory and also make sure that we ensure and protect those essential programs. The Democrats, as I noted this morning, have said that we're going to gut Medicaid. It is not true. We're going to protect the benefits that everyone is legally entitled to. The beneficiaries who have a legal right to that, it will be preserved. Those are essential safety net programs that Republicans support. The president has made clear Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid will not take a hit. So you can count on that, and you can watch it develop as we go.
Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House, it's Agriculture Today.
Attention seniors on Medicare and Medicaid, or receiving extra help for your prescription drugs. We have great news. You can change or enroll into a Medicare plan every 3 months if you qualify, all from the comfort and safety of your own home, over the phone. No one even needs to come to your home. And in minutes, we'll tell you all about some additional new Medicare benefits for you, like dental, vision, hearing, transportation, and more. Call us. We'll explain all your new Medicare benefits. Premiums are as low as $0 per month. Even if you are not paying anything for your coverage now, you need to call our licensed agents to review your plan. There are zero-cost plans available in some areas. Don't wait till next year. Get all the Medicare benefits you deserve. Call a licensed agent today.
800-793-1960. 800-793-1960. That's 800-793-1960. Paid for by Senior Choice Plans.
More of today's favorites and the legends headed your way at 6. But for now, it's more of the news and information that farmers and producers of CJ Country can use. When our CJ Agribusiness Report returns, it's the Ag Radio Net Farm News with Tom Cassidy and Tim Slezarczyk. Stay tuned.
When you're looking for the ultimate in comfort and control from your commercial mower, the Ferris ISX 800 is the answer. Equipped with the industry's leading patented four-front suspension system, the ISX 800 provides a smoother ride, more precise tracking of the terrain, and an improved cut. Visit Kelly's Garage in Perry to experience the next generation of Ferris suspension technology and test ride the ISX 800. Ferris, experience suspension.
This is the Ag Radio Network Farm News. I'm Tom Cassidy with Tim Slezarczyk.
Variety meat exports have provided value to the U.S. beef industry for a number of years. Although not demanded by the average U.S. consumer, beef variety meat products, also referred to as offal, often end up on dinner plates of consumers around the world. Beef variety meats include products like tripe, often featured in soup. Discussing U.S. pork variety meat exports, the question was asked, what about beef? Much like pork, a considerable share of U.S. beef production exported each year. Although trade uncertainty does loom over U.S. ag markets, including the beef sector, since February, tariffs have been announced on several trade partners and now sometimes delayed, there is concern that this could add cost to our beef exports. Much like hogs, very little is wasted when cattle are harvested, although not demanded by the U.S. consumer. Beef variety meat products often end up on dinner plates around the world. Tripe and sweetbreads are some of the largest varieties. Variety meats account for 22% of total volume of U.S. beef exports, generating nearly $1.1 billion in revenue for the U.S. domestic beef industry. Demand for U.S. beef is considered a three-legged stool supported by domestic retail, domestic food service, and export markets, with many of the beef products flowing to international destinations not often consumed at all in either domestic retail or domestic food service outlets, so exporting those products both reduces wastes and enhances the value of livestock marketed by U.S. producers.
Quality feed, margins,
productivity. Even your herd knows what's important to you. All dairy farmers, our top priority at John Deere is keeping your animals healthy and productive. With our technology, you can reduce overlaps, track nutrient content of your forage, and reduce downtime. We have the solutions to help feed and care for your herd. To learn more, talk to your local John Deere dealer today.
Seed Innovation Protection Alliance seed company members invest 15% of sales into new seed innovations for your cereal acres. Check the bag for certified seed or single-use agreement restrictions so you don't step over the line. Or talk to your seed dealer. Plant breeders develop better, stronger genetics for your farm. So let's reinvest together to improve yields and quality. Without your patronage and trust, seed companies wouldn't be able to continually develop new genetics, traits, seed treatments, and other innovations to meet your needs.
This winter saw a big die-off of honeybee populations, and there are a number of challenges researchers are looking at. Bee experts are hunting for the cause of a massive honeybee die-off this year. Based on early numbers, it's suggestive that it'll be the biggest loss of honeybee colonies in U.S. history. Cornell University bee experts are analyzing samples of bees and related material to help identify the cause of unprecedented managed honeybee losses just this winter. The colony die-offs became apparent as U.S. commercial beekeepers gear up to transport colonies this spring. California, approximately 70% of the nation's managed honeybees are trucked to pollinate almonds each year. Average recent losses have been upward of 60% of honeybee colonies, leading to combined financial losses of at least $139 million. Scott McGart is the associate professor of entomology and the program director of the Dice Lab for Honeybee Studies at Cornell. McGart said that based on the early numbers, suggestive it'll be the biggest loss of honeybee colonies in U.S. history. The Bee Research Lab at USDA's Ag Research Service in Beltsville collected samples of honeybees, wax, pollen, and honey from dead and living hives. Government facility now testing samples for parasites and viruses. Due to government staffing cuts and high expense involved with testing samples for pesticides, USDA staff and commercial beekeepers approached to see if Cornell could handle pesticide analysis. Findings from USDA samples won't be available for at least another month, but there are opportunities in the near future to get some answers.
And now another episode of One Soil to Live.
I just can't let you keep treating it like dirt, Claude.
Well, you know I don't mean to, Samantha. It's just I...
It's just what? You don't know it's alive?
Well, I...
Well, it is alive. And if you want to get the most out of it, you'll follow these four principles to keep it healthy and functioning.
All right, Samantha. I'm listening.
First, keep it covered and keep living roots in it throughout the year with diverse plants and rotations. And finally, disturb it as little as possible.
And if I do as you say, Samantha?
If you do, Claude, I have a feeling it'll be the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
There's an amazing amount of life in healthy soil. More importantly, that life can help make our nation's farms more productive, profitable, and resilient. Contact your local USDA Natural Resources Conservation Service office today and learn more about the basics and benefits of soil health. This message brought to you by USDA and this radio station.
It pays to plan your ag taxes throughout the year to pay less at the end of the year. Call the Ag Tax Specialists at Farm Credit East. Made in agriculture.
This is the Ag Radio Network Farm News, a voice for farmers of the Northeast.
When it comes to keeping your tractor or farm equipment running smoothly, there's only one reliable choice. Genuine AGCO parts from Jaba Farm Supply. Maintain peak winter performance and prepare for spring with genuine AGCO parts. Filters, lubricants, and more. There's no better way to insure against costly downtime than using parts engineered and tested by the same people who built the original equipment. Visit JabaFarmSupply.com today to find thousands of authentic AGCO parts for all AGCO brands, including Massey Ferguson, Challenger, and more. AGCO parts from Jabo Farm Supply. Genuine parts, genuine service, genuine reliability.
For four generations, more residents have relied on Ed Hume Incorporated for all their building and renovating needs, whether it's construction, site development, home improvement, blacktop, ponds, or other projects. Their team is up for any challenge in front of them. Ed Hume Construction has two gravel pits in Wyoming County loaded with screened and crushed gravel, topsoil, scalpings, millings, stone products, and more. There isn't a job too big to handle. Call 786-5880 to see what else Ed Hume can do for you. Or stop in 17 East Buffalo Street in Warsaw.
In 4 out of 5 school shootings, at least one other person had knowledge of the attacker's plan but failed to report it. Almost all mass school shooters shared threatening or concerning messages or images. More than 75% raised concern from others prior to an attack. Bystanders saw warning signs in most documented active shooter cases. You can prevent targeted violence from occurring. Here's how. Please contact the Wyoming County Threat Assessment Committee confidential tip line at 786-6001 if a classmate, coworker, partner, family member, friend, or neighbor starts demonstrating concerning behaviors. For immediate concerns, please call 911.
Ever miss a farm show or want to hear something again? We keep a week's worth waiting for you on our webpage. Go to WCJW.com, then click on the Agribusiness tab to find the past 7 shows. You're welcome. We're going to step aside for a message or two. Then it's Bill Baker and Dairy Rewind.
Hi, everyone. It's your Wyoming County Dairy Ambassador, Izusha Peck, and I've got a question for you. Are you passionate about agriculture and the dairy industry? Wyoming County is seeking an individual, either male or female, 16 or older, to compete for the role of Dairy Ambassador for the 2025-2026 year. As an ambassador, you'll represent the dairy industry, educate your community on sustainable farming, promote dairy nutrition, and support local farmers. This role offers leadership experience and valuable skills you'll use throughout your entire life. If you're interested, please reach out via Facebook at Wyoming County Dairy Promotion or Instagram at 2024 Dairy Ambassador to get an application.
This is Dairy Rewind, a look back at what happened this week in the dairy industry. Milky Monday.
Lucas Fees, Senior Dairy Analyst with Rabobank in Chicago. Lucas, President Trump's declared Liberation Day came and went last week, announcing a litany of tariffs,
some of which are a little bit easier to understand than others, but so far we do have a good idea of what's to come. What we don't know is what retaliatory actions some other countries might take now that Liberation Day has passed.
Tuesday.
Here's Will Babler, principal of Atten Babler, from a recent PDP Dairy Signal.
You know, really, as we think about the tariff story, if we weren't involved in trade, cross-border transactions on dairy products, we wouldn't care. But that's not the way that the U.S. dairy market has evolved. Which parts of the market are most exposed and why it matters? What we find is that the U.S. has become a big net exporter of dairy. So that means we have some stuff that comes in, some that goes out. But overall, we've become a big exporter. What's interesting in the dairy market, it's not just milk, right? So we've got all these different products. Two big takeaways for you is that exports basically have become a relief valve for having too much domestic production, meaning if it gets shut down, we have nowhere to go with it. Mexico threw out some threats. They're going to tariff cheese. China slowed down on purchases on whey. Mexico didn't say anything about non-fat. Canada made some threats on butter. There's all sorts of things there. We're seeing this change over the weekend. Every 12 hours, there's a new announcement. Some of these may or may not get resolved by the time we're done talking, or they may be stuck here for the whole administration. It definitely seems like there's very little room for movement with China. It's clear there's been a ton of negotiation with Mexico and Canada. This next round is really all about reciprocal tariffs. So we're going to see a lot of tit for tat across all types of products with all different countries. There is room for these to come and go.
Wednesday.
Professor Chris Wolfe of Cornell College, the million-dollar question. Your current all-milk forecast for 2025.
Well, 2 months ago, I was forecasting it to be a little bit lower than last year. Right now, we're looking at milk prices this month for farmers probably being a dollar lower than last month. And next month, in May, that being a dollar lower than this month. Hopefully, we're going to have all milk prices in that $18, $19 range. Earlier, I thought we would be 20 or above. But a lot of it depends on kind of how quickly we work through the current set of issues to make certain that we have a good outlet for that 16 to 18% of the milk that we need to export.
Thursday.
Shauna, thanks for taking the time to visit with us as you're at the U.S. Dairy Export Council meeting.
Yeah, USEC's have been holding its annual meeting with our 100-plus members over the past few days here with a series of committee meetings and then our larger annual meeting session for all members. It's given us a really timely chance to hear from administration officials from USDA, USTR, and FDA about the latest developments on the trade landscape side, as well as priorities for our dairy industry on a number of other facets that the administration's beginning to develop policy on. So really helpful. I think the mood coming from our members is, I'd say, hopefulness that the upheaval that we're seeing here in the interim is something that we'll be able to work through in order to expand markets at the end of the day here.
So, Shauna, what's your overall thoughts on how this is going to play out?
I'd say we've been encouraged by the fact that most trading partners seem to be taking a breath and reacting pragmatically into the U.S. tariff actions last week.
Friday.
Welcome to today's Feed Forum, and our topic will be looking at milk fatty acid analysis. This was presented by Dr. Heather Dan from the Meinert Institute at Chazy, New York. Certainly, milk fat bill is a hot topic right now. The value of milk fat is $2.62 a pound. That is what farmers are paid at the gate. So obviously, they're interested in how cows produce milk fat and how we can build on that as well. And the Meinert Institute has really taken the lead on this new tool that's available to dairy farmers to evaluate milk fat itself. Number two, it's a useful one to watch and see if it changes due to dietary or on-farm changes as well. And we can use a bulk milk sample to evaluate it as well. Well, that completes the program for today. Thanks. Hey, have a great day.
And that's Dr. Mike Hutchins. To listen to more, go to DairyRadio.com.
Dairy Rewind.
Gear up for the season with great deals on genuine New Holland parts and service, including Precision Technologies, select Riemann parts, and more. Get a 5% statement credit when you spend $1,000 or more on genuine New Holland lubricants using your Productivity Plus account. And take 15% off OEM and Fleet Guard filters that set you up for success this season. Visit Larry, Romance, and Son in Arcade, Sheridan, and Woodhull today to save on genuine New Holland parts and service.
So there's skim milk, a.k.a. fat-free. There's 1% and 2%. Ever wonder why there isn't a 3%? Well, being a nerdy mom, I do. And you know what? There is one. That's right. It's called whole milk. Whole milk only has 3% milk fat, which, when you think about it, and I do, is not a lot of fat at all. And did you know that no matter what cow's milk you prefer, they all have 8 grams of protein? Of course, it is wonderful we have so many alternatives, but many nut and plant-based milk substitutes don't meet the nutritional levels naturally contained in dairy. And I'm not big on thickeners, flavorings, or added sugars. Bottom line, cow's milk is still the gold standard when it comes to nutrition. So sure, I'm a nerdy mom, but I love my cows. I mean, kids, I love my kids.
Milk for nerdy moms and just about everyone. Brought to you by Milk for Health on the Niagara Frontier, the guys and gals with the cows.
Our daughter Jessie loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide Free and Gentle provides an excellent Tide clean, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues like dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on your skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.
We'll be back with a check of the forecast after this brief break.
The CJ Weather Track forecast brought to you by Upstate Niagara. Upstate Niagara Cooperative, farmer-owned by 260 family dairy farms, producing top-quality conventional and organic milk at the farm level that leads to award-winning finished dairy products. Buys and dip Upstate Farms yogurt, sour cream, cottage cheese, and fluid milk, home to Intense Milk and their lactose-free Milk for Life, all produced with care for their cows and commitment to their community. Our forecast for today, cloudy with fog this morning and some drizzle, high of 43. Tonight, mostly cloudy, low down to 33. Tomorrow, partly sunny, high up to 55.
If time on your deck means painting, staining, sanding, and scrubbing, you need a better deck. A Burt's Lumber Deck. Experts proudly stocks minimum maintenance Dura-Life decking in four beautiful colors. Your days of painting, staining, and sanding are over. And Color Guard railing systems provide a safe, stylish, and strong finish to your deck, porch, or balcony. And they're made in the USA. It's time to enjoy your deck. Learn more when you stop by Burt's Lumber in Perry. Open 7 days a week, including Sundays, 9 to 1.
John, what are you doing with that bag of money?
Hadessa, I'm using it to pay for mycotoxin and immune stimulant. I think we're paying 24 or 25 cents.
Whoa, let me see that.
What are you doing?
I'm cutting it in half. 12 cents is all you need. I'll gladly take this other half if you're going to waste it. You should use ETX5 and save your money, or at least give it to me.
Well, I guess that makes sense.
Of course it does, from both standpoints. ETX5 has a 5-way protection and degrading program. It is powerful, effective, and economical. So stop carrying all that money around.
How do I get ETX5?
That's easy. Just have their feed manufacturer or nutritionist add it to the ration. Or call us at 1-866-737-6273. Or find us on the web at feedworksusa.com.
Now, about that other 12 cents.
Just never mind that. And start using ETX5 today.
ETX5 is exclusively available from Feedworks USA. Give us a call at 1-866-737-6273.
A look into the markets here at the end of the day on Friday. I'm Remington Ricketts, starting with Wall Street and S&P 500, ending the day in the green at 53.63, the Dow up at 402.12, and NASDAQ in the green as well at 167.24. Bitcoin higher, gold higher, euro lower. So we go over to the energy futures prices. Crude oil, West Texas Intermediate, May contract, 145 higher on the day at 61.52. June 60.92 and July at 60.35. Gasoline higher, nat gas mixed, crude oil higher. So we go over to the grains futures prices. Starting with the corn May contract, 7.25 higher at 4.90 and a quarter. July in the green at 4.97 even, and December at 4.63 and a half. Soybean higher, soybean meal higher, soybean oil higher. Wheat May contract 17 and 3 quarters higher at the end of the day at 555 and 3 quarters. July in the green as well at 570 and a quarter, and December at 605 and 3 quarters. Hard red winter wheat May contract 568 even. July 10 and a quarter higher at 583 and a quarter. Spring wheat May 615 even, 13 even higher, with the July contract in the green as well at 628 and a half. Over to the cotton May contract, 58 cents lower on the day at 65.89, July slightly higher at 67.01, and October in the green at 68.71. Finishing with the livestock and dairy futures, live cattle April, $1.62 higher at 202.47, June in the green as well at 196.80, and August 193.85. Feeder cattle April, 285.17, May 278.70. Lean hogs higher, pork cutout even, class 3 milk lower.
How would you like to get high-speed internet for your home for less than $2 a day? That's right, for about 50 bucks a month, you'll get lightning-fast internet. Are you paying less than 50 bucks a month right now for your internet? Then call Whole Home Connect right now for blazing fast internet at 50 bucks a month with no price increases, no hidden fees, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees. It's a great deal. And guess what? You can try it for 15 days. If you don't like it, you get your money back. But you're going to love it, and you're going to love the price. Internet for your home for 50 bucks a month. That's less than 2 bucks a day. Plus, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees, and our 15-day guarantee. Call now. 800-923-9018. 800-923-9018. 800-923-9018. That's 800-923-9018.
Thanks for listening to the CJ Country Agribusiness Report. Catch it every Monday through Saturday starting at 5 a.m. And stand by for Western New York's morning show next on CJ Country.